You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the MLS UK show, Stoppage Time. I'm Henry Hewitt, and as always, I'm joined by...
Elliot Holman.
So, Elliot, we're halfway through the playoffs. Now, normally, after the first stage, we wouldn't be halfway through the playoffs, but there was that many matches in the first round of the playoffs. We are technically, I think, we're probably past halfway. Before we look forward to the next stage of the playoffs, the conference semis... I want to talk about the first stage of the playoffs, this three-game series. There was only three games in the end, wasn't there? They got to the three-game series. What did you make of it?
I remember the day that they announced it. I was in IKEA buying furniture, and I thought it was just complicated. It was a lot to get your head around. The way that they had like the play-in to get into the playoffs as well, like the wild card, was confusing when it was written down. In reality, it hasn't been that bad. It hasn't been the disaster that we all thought it was going to be. Ultimately, as someone who just loves watching MLS, it's enabled me to watch more games. When those games are Columbus v Atlanta, two good attacking sides who all season have been trying to outscore each other. It's fantastic. I watched all three of those. I stayed up super late, took in all three of those. When it's SKC at St. Louis, is it as exciting? I don't know. But it's luck of the draw, isn't it? Unfortunately, that's the way it goes. But Columbus Atlanta was a fantastic three-game series.
Yeah, and I thought Houston and RSL as well, they were nothing really between the teams. Two of the games went to penalties, so that was great. But yeah, I get what you mean when some of the games, like you think, LA winning at Vancouver was only 1-0, but after that first leg, and we kind of predicted it in our last episode previewing the playoffs as a whole with that one, is that if LAFC get a big win in the first leg, then they're going to win the second one, and that's what happened. But yeah, I think for me, going into it, I thought, this is a waste of time. I don't get why they've done it. And then seeing the Andrew Wiebe on X, Twitter, was bigging it up. And I thought, all right, yeah, you know, like some people have said with the guests we've had on this season that we're on Apple's payroll. Obviously, he is on Apple's payroll, so he's going to say that. But actually, coming out the other side, I'm a bit like you. I'm like, you know what? It wasn't too bad. Yeah, I mean, some games were... They were over within the two games, and that was fine. I did actually think that the way that St. Louis SKC turned out, that was a two-game series because SKC dominated. And you know what? I just think if St. Louis would have had another game, I just feel they ran out of energy. So I think SKC would have won that anyway. There weren't any games there where I thought, okay, maybe. I mean, Orlando-Nashville was quite close as well, but I still think Orlando had enough to then... have gone to a third game and won that anyway. So there weren't really any for me that I was disappointed that a team only had the two chances. But on the whole, I think it is what it is. It's the way that MLS is going. Chances are they'll change it in another few years and it'd be something that we don't like and we'll be like, bring back the three-game series. But for now, we'll see how it does next year. But I think overall, it was better than what I expected, but still... Ask me, do I want either a two-legged game or just a one-off game? I'd probably sway towards that than the three-game series. So we did have that. Orlando, obviously, we're going to talk about them in a moment because they did go through. But did anyone else catch your eye in that the opening stages of the playoffs? Maybe a team that got eliminated?
Well, I think this is what's interesting about the teams like SKC, who just scraped their way in. It's really interesting to me, and I think it backs up what we've been saying throughout the season. The West is not it this year. You know, the fact that SKC can scrape in and then beat the team that finished top is crazy. There was teams that surprised me like that. SKC, you know, I don't think San Jose would have gone on to do that, to be honest. But SKC, if you think back to the middle of the season, we were talking about them needing a change of coach because, it was a disaster, to be honest. And it was a disaster last season as well. So they've certainly surprised me. Nashville maybe disappointed me a little bit. They're a good side at home. And they've always been a solid side. Like, they don't leak goals. They never have leaked goals. But I just felt like Orlando, in that second game, Orlando took the lead from a pretty dodgy goal, and I kind of then expected a wave of attack from Nashville. And it never really came. They had loads of chances at Exploria, but didn't really in Nashville. So that surprised me as well on the other end of the scale.
Yeah, I mean, the Sam Surrey's chance in the first leg was probably the chance for Nashville. If they would have scored that, I think would they have gone 1-0 up in that? Oh, maybe we was it an equal? Yeah, so Mukhtar hit the bar, didn't he? It would have been 1-1. So that would have been a different outcome, obviously. But I think that would have then potentially took that to a third game, or even Nashville could have then won at home, had the confidence to do that. So that was on a knife edge. I think the Cincy... You know, since in the first leg dominated Red Bulls, second leg Red Bulls did take it quite far. They went 1-0 up in the first half and it went to penalties and Cincy won. But even with that, I think if that would have gone back to Cincy for a third game, they would have won. They would have won 3 or 4-0 and it would have been over. So, yeah, there weren't really many games for me. Seattle-Dallas probably went the way we expected with the home teams, winning the games that they did. On the whole, I don't think there's any major shocks, probably that St. Louis one, but again, you're playing SKC, it's a derby game, anything can happen. I didn't expect them to lose 4-1 in the first game, but, SKC are showing a bit of form going into the next stage. So let's look at that next stage then. There's four games, it's the conference semi-finals. I tell you what, let's start in the East and let's start with Orlando, who are playing Columbus. And this has the makings of a really, really fascinating game, doesn't it?
Yeah, Columbus have been my favourite team to watch this season. I'm just going to throw it out there. Really entertaining. Played some fantastic stuff. They've got players like Farsi, who didn't even start the first two games, I don't believe. Saw him playing in the third right back against Atlanta and thought, wow, he's not even been in the side. Like, they've got a really good roster. They play really nice football, one touch, always finding space. I mean... Attacking wise, what a team as well. Like, they've almost turned into, you know, LAFC a few years ago, where they just had a ridiculous amount and you're like, how have you got all that on the roster? I really, really rate Columbus, so that's really tough. It's a really tough game. Orlando finished above them, sure, but I think this is anyone's. I really do. Columbus, great side. Orlando, they just know how to win. They just grind it out. They win in different ways. They don't have a particular play style, which I kind of like. They just be able to get the job done, however is required. And that, for me, makes this a fascinating game because I don't know what way that's going to go.
Yeah. I mean, I know you'd be watching it anyway, but going off when you, your wife, Bryony, and little Aurelia visited mine the other week to meet Arthur and how fascinated she was by the colours on the TV. I think purple v yellow. I think if you need to be, you make her be quiet for 2 hours, I think this is the game for her to watch, isn't it?
Absolutely. and I've got her, you know, I'm trying to get her to support Norwich in Orlando. So purple and yellow is the way we're going.
Nice. But yeah, in the game, it's, it could go both ways. I'm probably going to sway with Orlando just because they're at home. I know Orlando's home form in the, in the main season wasn't great, but I think that win against Nashville has turned the corner a little bit. Of course, Cucho Hernandez is away on international duty next week, so I don't know.
What
maybe
a player, by the way. What yeah. a player. Honestly, one of my favorite MLS players ever. Like, yeah. he's so good to watch. Took him a long, long, long time to get his shot on target the other night, which really surprised me. But he's a real, real player.
He is. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing him in the next few years in MLS, because I think he can really just, like Mukhtar has done, he's just grab it and continue, you know, just going higher and higher and higher, and eventually we'll win MVP, possibly not this year, but in the future, definitely. But yeah, with him on international duty for Colombia, that could, how's he going to return? Is that going to affect, you know, Columbus? Because I think going into the semis, this is something that we need to think about, is the international players. I know for Orlando, the likes of Galese is playing for Peru, so he's going to come back maybe a bit tired, and there's a few others as well. So, you know, this could have a big say in how it goes. So I'm hoping that they can all be rested, because I think a fully fit, both of these teams fully fit, no issues with tiredness or anything, I think it's good, you know, it's going to be a fascinating game. Yeah, I mean, Orlando, you're in the semifinals, conference semis, you know, the result maybe goes Orlando's way in the other semi. You could be playing Philadelphia at home. I mean, you're getting closer and closer to hosting
Stop
MLS
it.
Cup.
Stop it. Stop it.
Well, let's talk about Cincy versus Philadelphia then. That's the second conference semi in the East. Cincy, you're going to it favourites, I assume. I mean, what chances do you rate Philadelphia? Because they've got so close the last few years. This year, maybe people haven't been looking at them as much because they've finished a bit lower down in the conference. But, I mean, ironically, this could be their year.
Well, put it this way. Put Philly in the West. They finished top, right?
Yeah.
So they're only not being talked about because teams like Cincinnati, who have been incredible, lost only two home games all season, run away with the league. Teams like Orlando grinding out wins away from home, as well as some at home. Columbus always on the front foot, attacking, playing lovely stuff. That's why no one's talking about Philadelphia. But you put them in the West and they win it. So they're still a force to be reckoned with. They'll give Cincy a problem. They will. And I'm like, you have to back Cincy, but I wouldn't be putting everything on it, because these playoff games can go either way. But Philadelphia, rightly the underdogs, but I think it's marginal.
Yeah, I think it could come down to, the Acosta v. Gazdag battle. I mean, Gazdag's playing international duty. So's the likes of Martinez. So's the likes of Blake. So Philadelphia have a few players that are going to be away for next 10 days, especially, which could impact something, whereas Acosta's going to have his feet up, resting, ready for it. So, I do think that, I think Cincy will probably go through, and I think that's going off the home record. Of course, we know that for teams that win a Supporters' Shield, it's very difficult to then progress to get to MLS Cup. But I just think there's something about this Cincy team. They've shown, even in the playoffs so far, a dominant victory at home to Red Bulls. Then it comes to going to Red Bull Arena. They grind out a result. They got that draw in the end when it could have easily, Red Bulls could have hung on, or they could have hit them on a break and got a second goal. They got that equaliser, won on penalties. They did what they needed to do, and I think this Cincy team has that. So I'm going to say that it will be, as much as I'd love to see, maybe a Hellas Real derby in the conference final. I do think it will be Cincy v Orlando, which for you, with Orlando's away record being so much better than the home record, mm-hmm. it could work out better, maybe.
Already got a result at Cincy this year as well, so
exactly, yeah. So, what are you going with? I mean, I know it's difficult for you because as an Orlando fan, you don't want to perhaps jinx it. But who's your conference final in the East?
Yeah, I'd love Orlando Cincy, obviously. I genuinely think it could be Columbus Cincy. I really do, and that'd be tasty, wouldn't it?
It would indeed. I mean, oh, the games are going to be close because Philly could easily go to Cincy and get a result as well, or even could go to penalties. So it's so exciting. Now we've moved into the West. To be honest, with all four games, there's not one game where you look at and go, that's going to be easy win for them. They're through. Like, you look at Houston and SKC, and probably on paper out the four matches, the longest odds for the MLS Cup winner to come from this game. But if you look at Houston's home record, they've been so good at home all season. They won US Open Cup, so they've already won something. They're going for a double. You wouldn't really write off them or SKC to upset the odds.
No, you're bang on. I think with Houston, we're having to relearn, re-educate ourselves on them for maybe the first time since we've been doing this podcast. They're one of those teams, and there's only a few of them now that haven't really had their moment in the sun, because the beauty of MLS, as we know, is that it jumbles around every year. Someone's always got the powers, you know, Cincy this season, for example. And so, yeah, we're retraining our brains that Houston are a force to be reckoned with. They can get results at home. They can win cup competitions. And I absolutely think they've got every chance here.
Well, if it goes to penalties, here's a stat for you. Tim Millier, SKC goalkeeper, never lost a penalty shootout in 7.
Wow.
So if it goes to penalties, put your money on SKC. But saying that, please don't. Don't come to me when Houston win, because he is going to lose one at some point. But yeah, for me, fascinating encounter. SKC, for me, are the team. We've seen it with RSL in recent years that just come from nowhere, get to the latter stages of it. I think personally, this could be one step too far. I think Houston at home could be too strong for them. But, you know, I do see a pattern emerging of my predictions being all the home teams, which brings us now to Seattle versus LAFC. Seattle really weren't good at home. They were the 9th best home record in the West in the regular season. So I may have to sway to LAFC in this one, but we do have the best defense record. So it evens itself out.
I think this is the toughest one. This is the toughest one to call. I've watched both sides this season. Not loads. They're on at stupid o'clock in the morning. literally 3:30 in the morning if you want to watch Seattle or an LAFC game. And I'm ashamed to say that I have watched some midweek games when I start work at 6 a.m. Like, it's so stupid. The games I've watched of LAFC this year, they have been terrible. Now, I'm not saying they've been terrible all season. The ones I've watched, the ones I've seen them in, they haven't played well. The same with Seattle. So I remember Seattle's first game of the season, and I was really impressed with them. And then I watched them again, and I was like, it's like a different team. So this is the hardest one to call for me. Seattle's home form's not been good. I really think LAFC could have the upper hand.
The thing for me, like Buanga on international duty, they could really do, like Acosta for Columbus, they could do with just wrapping him up in cotton wool and not letting him out of the training centre for the next 2 weeks. But I think, as she's basically said there, it depends what Seattle turn up, essentially. If it's the Seattle that can pull a result out at home, remember they got 2 results at home in the previous stage of the playoffs, so they know what they're doing. For me, I'm going to go LAFC, and that's purely based on the fact I don't want to just go for every home team. LAFC are reigning champions. We know what we're doing. We know how to get to the latter stages of competitions. They've proved that. We've had a few finals in the last few years. So I'm going to go LAFC. However, if it turns out that Seattle win, again, this could be a close one. It would not surprise me one bit. So I'm going to go LAFC. That would then leave, as my opinion, a Houston LAFC, you know, conference final, which would really be interesting.
Yeah, that's a good point. So I've backed Houston, I've backed LAFC. I haven't thought about that final. It's a really interesting, dynamic that I don't know who I go for there. But same as I said with Cincy and Columbus, great matchup.
Yeah. Well, we will reconvene before those matches, definitely before MLS Cup, so we can make proper predictions on who we think will win the 2023 MLS Cup. Now, before we go, there's a few more bits of news within MLS that we need to cover. And I am aware this has been a very bite-sized episode of the MLS UK Show Stoppage Time, but now, as we are both fathers, there is only so long out of the reach of our child that we can we allowed to be. But before we go, let's discuss. Tell you what, Portland have changed the head coach. It's someone we know very well. He's from my hometown. It's the great Phil Neville. He has been he's been sticking around MLS, hasn't he? He's been on the Apple TV coverage, so it weren't going to be too long until he came back into the league, and he's arrived at Portland. What do you make of this one?
What are they doing? that was the tweet. What are they doing?
Yeah,
he literally was bottom of the league, and he got sacked. I'm meant to go into detail here, but I'm just being serious. Like, what are they doing? Like that, it just. What are you doing? It's such a terrible appointment.
Yeah, for me,
they're a big club. They're an established MLS club who should be winning MLS Cup. Got to MLS Cup literally a few years ago.
Yeah,
Phil Neville's not taking you back there.
Yeah, it does seem a bit of a weird. I don't know. For me, they've gone on name, which I don't think is a Portland Timbers way of doing things, to be honest. I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if they've gone, right, he was into Miami manager, and they've gone, right, Phil, you ain't going to be head coach of Messi. We'll tell you that now. But to make it less awkward or to not have to pay you too much or whatever, we'll make it so you can have another MLS job within the next 6 months. That, to me, would make sense of why Phil Neville has become the Portland Timbers head coach, because it's totally against what we know of the Timbers. He hasn't proven anything in MLS. I mean, he did well with the English women's national team, but, I mean, what they've done after that has probably made his time in charge a bit less, you know, like less respected. I don't know. But, yeah, very strange one. And I also thought that, you know, we're not really a podcast that's going to go into too much detail about the other stuff, like the tweets, the historic tweets and stuff like that. But for Portland at the moment, for that city of soccer, where there's a lot of stuff going on, you know, with the NWSL team, to then bring Phil Neville into the men's team just seemed completely, I don't know, it just didn't seem right. It just seemed very weird, a very weird choice, even down to the way they announced it, with him stepping into the stadium as if it was like some dog dirt on his shoe. It was just so random. But, you know, we could be proved wrong. To be fair, on this podcast, we proved wrong a lot of the times with certain teams. We're not really proved wrong with how we feel managers and head coaches will do. Like, I remember we said with Rooney, probably wouldn't do very well. We said it with Yap Stam years ago with Cincinnati. Yeah. I don't see this ending well, to be honest. And I'd be surprised if Phil Neville, in 12 months, I'd be surprised if Phil Neville has got them to the playoffs, put it that way.
If he's there in 12 months, I'll be amazed.
On a more positive note, and I mean, it's so hard for us to say that about Phil Neville, because he's a British guy, he's an English guy in MLS. We want to be rooting for him. You know, he's representing my hometown, Bury, in MLS. Like, but I just don't see it working out. But so let's move on to something more positive. Leo Messi, who is representing MLS in a positive way, has brought a Ballon d'Or to MLS for the first time, which I know all the Euro snobs, it would have hurt them so much that the Ballon d'Or winner is now playing in MLS. Do you think this was deserved for Messi this season in particular?
Messi won the World Cup. Messi's one of my favourite players ever, and I'm always going to be biased. Messi won the World Cup with Argentina, and he was fantastic in that tournament. And he came to MLS, and not necessarily in the league, but in the US Open Cup, he arrived and he did his bit. And prior to that, of course, he was a fantastic player in Europe. I don't begrudge Messi being a Ballon d'Or winner for the 19th time. I'm team Messi over Ronaldo, so I love that he's got an extra one. And it was never going to the Saudi Pro League, let's be honest. I'm excited for next season with Messi. I'm excited to see what's going to go down. I feel like it's been a bit iffy because of his injury and not playing. So I'm looking forward to next season where he properly makes his mark on the league.
Yeah, like you said, US Open Cup, Leagues Cup, he certainly did that. MLS, he's not quite done it yet. Maybe with Inter Miami's position, maybe if they were a bit further up the league, he would have had more of an impact or been given the opportunity to have more of an impact. They were never really going to make playoffs. So, you know, they've made it. They're in CONCACAF Champions League. So that's all they wanted to do. Yeah, I think it's fantastic for the league. It's fantastic for Leo Messi. I personally think that if Haaland played for any other country other than Norway, he probably would have won it, but it was a good opportunity to give Messi his last one, having won the World Cup. I don't think he'll win another one. So it'll be, Mbappe versus Haaland versus Bellingham next year. But I think it's fantastic for the league. I'm enjoying watching the Apple TV Messi documentary, you know, Fly on the Wall thing. That's great for the league as well. And I think for him, what really impressed me with Leo Messi, and when he got the Ballon d'Or, when he came back to Miami, the first thing he seemed to do was go to the training center and meet the youth team and his teammates. And I think just for a country that's trying to embrace soccer, I think for Leo Messi to do that and give those kids that opportunity to not only meet him, but also see a Ballon d'Or trophy, I think that's fantastic. And it really says a lot about the guy. Like, I don't want to have the Messi-Ronaldo debate, but would Ronaldo have done that in Saudi? Mm-hmm. Probably not. So, So well done to Leo Messi. Didn't quite go according to plan in his homecoming match, that friendly against the NYCFC. He lost 2-1, but, you know, Leo Messi's had more important matches in the last 12 months, hasn't even that one.
Just a little bit.
Right, well, that's it from us for this very short episode of the MLS UK show. We'll be back to cover the remaining stages of the MLS Cup playoffs. If you've enjoyed the show, then please get on your podcast provider, leave us a rating. But Elliot, there's one rule and one rule only.
LA Galaxy style, 5 stars only. Please.
Yes, and that will remain for another 12 months. If you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe and like the video as well. A massive shout out before we go to our sponsor, soccer90.com. Remember, when you're on there and in the next few months, all the new MLS jerseys for next season will be on there. If you see anything you like, go to the checkout, type in MLS UK in the discount code. You get 20% off too. Right, that's it from us. We are going to enjoy ourselves at Anfield tomorrow night for the Football Content Awards. We're up for Best Podcast International, so wish us luck. We've won bronze and silver before, so to be honest, Elliot, I'd take another bronze or silver. I'm just happy to be getting out of the house, to be honest.
After our commitment this season with 2 babies born into the MLS UK show family, a bronze would be a blooming good achievement, I think.
Yeah, I think if we do get anything and we've got to do any sort of a speech, then I am, of course, thanking our wives for giving birth to our children, but I am also thanking Leo Messi because he has kept this podcast going over the last 4 or 5 months.
I'm going to do the cradle celebration.
Right, I'm going to stick the award up my shirt as a bump.
What are you going to say then?
Right, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll be back soon. I've been Henry Hewitt.
And I've been Elliot Holman. You can stick your reward right up your shirt.
See ya.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.